Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Pentecost Sunday. Let's go to what a lot of you would be expecting, Acts chapter 2. It is Pentecost Sunday, Acts 2, 1 to 13. It's crazy how even as Pentecostals, we can think we know what Pentecost is all about and assume everyone knows. But some people just don't even know. But God is like, I want you to know. So it's been recorded in the Bible. Pentecost was actually a harvest festival. It was an annual festival that went back all the way to Leviticus, Deuteronomy, to the Old Testament. And it was 7 weeks after the seventh Sabbath. It was 7 weeks after the Passover. The Passover where the Israelites were saved by God. Where out of that, they were rescued from slavery. A feast, a festival was established by God through Moses. And he said, on the 50th day, 7 weeks, 7 times 7, 49, very close to 50, you will bring grain offerings, wheat offerings, and worship your God. So hundreds of years later, in Acts, we have on Pentecost, something special happens. Something special happens. Jesus has come. Jesus has ascended. Something special happens. Let's hear about it. Acts 2, 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. We're all together right now in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled. They were all in one place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pizzeria, Vegemites, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Who likes to wait? Not many of us like to wait. See, I've been to the ED, to the ER, emergency department. The emergency room. Anyone been to the emergency room? Oh, I don't know. For some reason, since I've started having kids, like in the last 8 years, the ER has just been a commonplace every now and again. And man, you have to wait. You can't just get in there and just, hey, it doesn't matter how sick you are. You think you're really sick? They're like, yeah, just chill. You wait in the ER. You have this expectation. You just wait. There's so many people in there. Some are just vomiting. Some are screaming. Everyone's got a need. They need to be seen. They're just waiting for such a long time. But you can actually ask the nurses, you know, if you, like my wife, she doesn't mind getting up and asking the question. I'm like, I'll give it another hour. Don't ask. You can ask the nurses, hey, how long do you reckon before, you know, we can go in there? But you just wait. And you wait. But there's actually precedent there. You know, maybe you've been there before. You know, maybe it could be 3 hours, 4 hours. So you kind of know what to expect. And you don't wait for days. 4 hours, maybe 3 hours. But these guys at Pentecost, they had been waiting. They weren't waiting in the UR with a book, with a device. You know, when you go to the ER, you can have a book with you, a device. You can check your Facebook. You can listen to your music. You can do other things. And you're waiting, but you're not so focused on, I'm just waiting for the doctor. Where's the doctor? When are you coming, doctor? It's there in your mind, but you're doing so many other things to distract yourself. These guys on Pentecost, they were waiting with one thing in mind. They'd been waiting for 10 days. And they were in the UR for 10 days. They were not in the ER. There was no emergency. There was a longing. There was a dependency. There had been a promise. They're in the UR just waiting. They were worshiping. They were just holding on the words of Jesus of what he had promised. Do you know what the UR is? Just like in the upper room, just like. Steph wanted to sing that, but she didn't get to. They were in the upper room, waiting, 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 waiting. 120 of them. See, when you're in the emergency room, you're freaking out. You're distracted. They were not distracted. They were waiting. They were holding onto the words of Jesus. They were devoted to prayer, waiting for the promise. Luke 24, verse 49 says this. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Luke 24, 49, Jesus says to them, "I'm going to send you the promise. Stay in the city until the promise comes, until I clothe you with power from on high." They waited. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 is starting to get close. You know, when Jesus resurrected, he appeared to many people over 40 days, spent time with his disciples. But then when he was about to ascend, he speaks to his disciples. And one of the things he says is this. My Bible, come on, open up, Acts 1. That's just giving you time to get to it. Acts 1, 4 says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.' John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Holy Spirit and fire." So he asked them to wait. They waited 10 days. And then when the day of Pentecost arrived, it says that they were together. Can we go back to that? Act 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. They were together in unity. Just think about that. Together in unity. And it's the first point this morning. Together in unity. 10 days. Imagine being in a room. Imagine being in here for 10 days. He says they were in one accord. We can be together in this room and actually not be in unity. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to be in unity. They were in that room for one thing. They were waiting for the promise. Together in unity. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for the helper. John 16:7, Jesus says to his disciples, It is to your advantage that I go to be with the Father so that I can send you the Helper. He was saying, if I hang around, everyone's going to be limited. I'm going to be limited because I can't be everywhere and with everyone, because he was fully man. Yes, he was fully God, but for his presence to be in all of us, he had to go. He says, I'm going to go, and it's to your advantage that I go. I know you love me, but you got to share. You got to share the love. I want to send my power, clothe everyone with power from on high. So they had to wait for the promise. We actually find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, we're told that there was actually 500 people that Jesus had appeared to at once. And he was telling them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Wait. But in the upper room, there was only 120 people. What happened to the rest of them? What happened to the rest of them? But then these 120, they were together in unity, waiting, praying, devoting themselves to the words of Jesus. Imagine just 10 days, just waiting. I reckon they were fasting. There's no way you can be in the upper room and just be there without needing more of his presence, more of his strength. I reckon they were praying and fasting. We're told in Acts 1:14. What were they doing in the upper room? It says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. They were devoting themselves to prayer. They were so unified. They were hungry for his presence. They were making room for what Jesus wanted to do. But they were doing it together. We've just been through 12 days of prayer and fasting. We've been united in that. We come hungry for God to continue to do what he wants to do. We've been getting refined. God is always wanting to refine you and I. The Holy Spirit is a refining fire. He gives us his holiness. So these people are just there for 10 days. Waiting. Come on, Steve, what are you? Why are you staying here? Let's keep moving. What happened after that? They were just waiting. What does it say? It says, and then suddenly. See, for that suddenly to happen in that 120 room, there had to be unity. We heard this morning at our praying counter service that Psalm 133 says that where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Unity amongst us, unity among God's people unlocks the anointing, unlocks his presence. He goes, I can rest in this place. I can do miracles in this place. I can bring revelation into this place. I can bring deliverance into this place. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. They were together in unity. And then it says, verse 2, and suddenly they came from heaven. What came from heaven? Suddenly they came from heaven. They're in this room, and then suddenly they came from heaven. They came a sound. A sound. Like a mighty rushing wind. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, as we see here, there was a sound. There was actually a feel. There was a look. Think about wind. When wind blows, you feel it. You don't really see it, but you see what it does. You see what it does. You see how it works. It moves things. What filled the entire house where they were sitting? It says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. What filled that house? What were those tongues of fire? The tongues of a fire that appeared to them and rested on each one of them. It was the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It sounds simple, but it's true. They were all, not just one person, all of them, they were together in unity. God loves unity. He showed up and he filled the place with his presence. Suddenly, it's like unexpectedly. How is it unexpectedly you've been waiting for 10 days in there? What were you expecting? But this is what God does. When he comes, when he shows up, when he does things in our lives, he does it in a way that you didn't even expect, because he's the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So suddenly, the Spirit fills the room. Suddenly, it's like whenever he wants, whenever he chooses. Have you had any suddenlies in your life? Any suddenlies from the Lord? When you've been waiting, you've been praying for something, you're getting tired. They would have been getting so tired of praying. Lord, where's this promise? Lord, how long do you want me to be stuck in this just waiting? People are out there celebrating Pentecost. We need to get out there. There's other things to do. But then suddenly, God fills the room with the Holy Spirit. He fills every part of the room. It says the entire house. He wants to fill every part of your soul, your heart, your spirit, your mind. He wants to consume you. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Are you ready for the suddenlies of God? Just think about it. Like, God, in our day-to-day lives, are we ready for the suddenlies? Imagine the shock those people would have had. In this instance, they were speaking like totally other languages. But imagine you hearing someone speaking Sri Lankan when they're Zimbabwean. You're like, what's wrong with you? It was a suddenly. So unexpected. So unexpected. Are we ready for it? Oh, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love your presence. But when the suddenly comes, when you're going to look stupid, are you ready for it? When you have to share the gospel with your child's teacher, God just goes, this is it. Suddenly. There was no fear in this room. They were just going for it. And the impact of what happened in that room is amazing. Are you attentive to him? When we can miss the suddenlies. We can even miss the suddenlies because we're so much into just studying and being about the mind. You can actually miss the suddenlies because you're just so much into the word. There's nothing wrong with being into the word. But that word that you're getting full of, are you able to share it with someone else when it suddenly comes? It's not just for you, it's for others. Are you positioned for the suddenlies? See, there was visible evidence in that room of the Spirit. They were speaking in other tongues. It could be heard. They could see fire on people's heads. We believe in faith that his presence is with us and is in us. But we actually get to feel it too. We actually get to see it at work. Are you open for God to reveal himself in ways you haven't started to imagine? Audible, visible. See, when he's resident in your heart, there needs to be evidence of his residence. But we've got to be together in unity. We've got to be driven by love. We've got to be little babies because he wants to show himself. And we hear that in verse 12. It says, some of the people were mocking, saying they're all filled with wine. They are drunk. True, they were drunk on the Spirit. They knew wine. So they were all filled. What are you full of? What are you full of? What fills your mind? What fills your day? What fills your heart? What fills your thoughts? Because that's what will come out of you. That's what will come out of me. God wants to consume us. He wants everything we do to be led by his Spirit. Our decisions, our thoughts, our actions. What happens when you're filled with the Spirit? There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. There is joy. It's not just being happy. It's actually a joy where you just know God is good. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. In his presence, it's fullness of joy. When you're filled with the Spirit, you receive his revelation. You receive his direction. Your eyes are open to hear and see what he says in the word. Full of the Spirit. When we're full of the Spirit, he does a healing work. We didn't even need today to get people up for prayer during after communion because we just know there's moments where as you just focus on the Holy Spirit, and you let him just come and minister to you. He'll meet you exactly where you are. With whatever you're going through, he will answer your prayers in that moment. He brings deliverance. He brings freedom. They were all filled. But what was the point of all this filling? What was the point? It was to empower them. It was to empower the disciples, empower the 120. And it was to go way beyond that. They were to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says, Jesus says to them, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. It wasn't just about them to just enjoy his presence. Numa South, we love his presence, don't we? And the Lord loves showing up. But it's not just for us. He empowers you to be a witness to your brother, to your son, to your boss, to whoever he leads you to. He empowers us by the Holy Spirit. See, before Jesus came, the Holy Spirit was there. We heard it again this morning. You need to come to encounter. We heard encounter this morning that in the beginning, when the earth was void without form, the Holy Spirit was hovering. There was nothing. And then God said, let there be light. And creation started. The Holy Spirit was there from creation. He is the source. He is the source. In the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit would come upon select individuals who would empower them to do his work. But when Jesus came, he was conceived through the Holy Spirit. When he gets baptized, the heavens open up. A dove, we sung about it today, descends and rests upon him. And then it says the Spirit leads him into the wilderness for 40 days. Talk about waiting. He's being equipped. And he comes out of that, and Luke 4 tells us that he was full of the Spirit. And then he preaches a crazy message. The Lord is upon me to bring good news. He talks about what Isaiah had said, and he says, that was talking about me. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's from that moment he starts to do miracles, signs and wonders. He was perfect without sin. And then he gives his life for you and I. That Spirit raises him from the dead 3 days later. And then that Spirit is sent, was sent on Pentecost to empower those people and us today to be witnesses. Most of us, we know this, we hear it, we celebrate it today, but we need more of it. We need to be more aware of God. What are you doing? I want to join in with what you're doing in my day-to-day. Empower me, Lord. He empowered those people there to go out of the upper room. They didn't stay in the upper room. Once the Spirit came, they had their great moment, but they went out. They went out. People like, oh, those people in there are drunk. Peter, who betrayed Jesus, who denied Jesus, he's full of the Spirit from that moment. And he gets out there and he says, hold up, people. He says, hold up. What does he say? Did he say hold up? No, he says, men of Judea. This is verse 14 in Acts 2. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. Come on, who said women can't be in ministry? The Holy Spirit is on all of us. In those days, I'll pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And he keeps going. He preaches boldly. Boldly. When we receive the Spirit, when we are filled with the Spirit, a boldness comes to preach his word, to share the gospel. What are you doing with the fullness that he's giving you, that he has on offer, with the gift that came at Pentecost and is available today? We're told at the end of that chapter that 3,000 people were saved on that day. It wasn't just about the upper room. They waited. God went, I can work through these people. I can use them as my vessels. And he preaches such a word, and he tells them right at the end of that chapter that you need to repent, change your ways, turn away from your ways, and be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says 3,000 people were added to their number. So the Holy Spirit was given to empower you and I to be witnesses. But the Holy Spirit was given to you and I so that he can manifest himself through us in this room. As church, there's the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts are alive. The gifts are available. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Let's go to it really quickly. The Spirit wants to manifest himself through us in this room, in your house, at home. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered. There's that word. Empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Oh, Lord, we pray that You would activate the gifts of the Spirit in this room, in this place, Lord, that we would not become complacent, that would not become satisfied with business as usual, but that, Lord, we would see miracles take place. Lord, we would see healings take place. Lord, we would hear prophecies, Lord God, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Lord, we ask You for all the gifts as You empower according to Your will. Lord, would You burden us for the gifts? But Lord, would we remember that You are the gift that keeps on giving. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was a fulfillment of the promise. It goes actually all the way back to Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. God gave him a promise that through Abraham's descendants, all the world would be blessed. Many nations will be blessed. Look at how many nations were there on the day of Pentecost. There was people from all over the place. And that day was another fulfillment of God's covenant, God's promise. The church was established from that day. That's when the church started, on the day of Pentecost. A blessing came, the blessing of God's presence being available to everyone. How blessed are we that we know God, that we have His presence. But there's many out there that don't know Him. Many in the prisons that don't know Him. Many on the streets that don't know Him. But when the power comes upon you, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be My witness. Are you a witness? Are you a witness? A witness is someone who's seen something, who's experienced something, and they testify about it. But you know, witness, if you really look back into the source of it, it's a martyr. It's someone who actually will die. Will you die for the gospel? Will you die? Witness is a martyr. Will you die to your daily needs? Oh, Lord, I won't. Go that way because I need to do this. Oh, Lord, I'm shy. Lord, I'm this. Whatever excuse. You said yes to Jesus. So let it always be a yes. And die to those daily things. Be a living sacrifice. I'm preaching to myself. The amount of times where I have opportunity. The other day, my coach said to me, "What's that music you're listening to?" Because I was running and I was running well. He's like, "What are you wired to?" And I was like, "Oh, just some hip hop." But it was Christian hip hop. But I chose not to say Christian hip hop because I just didn't want to go there. And my excuse is I've got time to share with him. And then he goes, "Oh, who is it?" I said, "Lecrae." And I'm thinking, Lord, at least Lecrae is Christian. And he goes, Yeah. You know when people say, yeah, they're like, "Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about." But he's like, "I've got no clue." But I felt so convicted. Because that was, I didn't have to preach to him. All I had to say was what I was doing. I'm listening to Christian hip-hop. That's why I'm fast, Sean. Oh, man, I'm not fast. But I struggle with this on the daily. God's speaking to us. God gives us opportunities. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. But we limit ourselves. We limit people. People want to know. You think they don't want to know. They want to know. They might respond in a whole way you're not expecting, but you just don't know what God's going to do. Like we said the other week, stop trying to do His job. Let Him do the convicting. You just do what you need to do as the Spirit empowers you. We need to stop quenching the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit." We have the Holy Spirit in us. He gives it without measure, but we quench it. We chuck our little things on it. We put our limits on it. Do not quench it. So we're together in unity. They were together in unity. They were all filled with the Spirit. They were empowered by the Spirit. But it was so that they would live by the Spirit, so that you and I would live by the Spirit. For most of you, none of this is news, because we're living a life by the Spirit. That's what we're to do. We have the gift in us. But Galatians 5:25 says, if you live by the Spirit, also keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. Keeping in step means you're following. It means you're listening. You're asking, where are we going, Lord? Lord, what are you doing? Let's go. Oh, man. Are you guys getting what I'm talking about? Some of you think I'm crazy, but this is real. He's got so many suddenlies for you. So many suddenlies. But if you're not keeping in step, yeah, your job is important. Your family's important. But he's more important. And he's the one that gives you your job. He's the one that sustains you. He gives and he takes away. But he will never forsake you. So when you prioritize him and you do what he says to do, there's such a joy that you have in those moments. But there's so much more joy that he has. But the things that brings him the most joy is when someone comes to know the Lord. And that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. So he empowers us. But we're to live by the Spirit. What are you living by? What are you living by? Are you living driven for your career? Are you living driven just for your family? Are you living by what people say? Are you living by, you know what I'm saying? What are you living by? Are you living by the Word? Are you living by the Spirit? What moves you? Does he lead you? Are you hearing him? No, it's not. Just cry if you need to cry, Steve. Most of you have heard this story. This is living by the Spirit. My mum's got Alzheimer's. 60. She's 60. A few years back, 2 years, I think started last year, she was here. Last time she was here, she lives in Zimbabwe. I should get you to tell the story. Anyway, be quick, Steve. So, she's so disoriented, she doesn't speak anymore. She's just got no words. She doesn't know, do I go this way, do I go that way? Literally, she always has to be with someone. So they were here for 3 months with my dad, staying with my sister in Coburg. And they would go for walks every day, 10K walks in the morning. And she was fit. She still is fit, but now she's not walking as much. Because what happened one morning as they were going for a walk, my dad had a little air tag that he kept on him all the time. She had his phone on him because she can't use phones anymore, but she loves music. So she had the phone on her, but listening to music. But anyway, a runner goes past them. This runner's going probably like 5 minute Ks. Not bad pace. Mum's like, I'm fit. She starts running with this lady. And my dad, he's got high blood pressure issues. He's like, oh, she'll come back. She's not coming back. He tries to go, but she's gone. Now, she's got Alzheimer's. She can't speak English anymore because she's lost that. Every now and again, she might say some words, but it's in Shona, which is my language. This was like 7:30 in the morning. I get a text at about 9:30 in the morning. I'm in a pastoral meeting, and the whole family's like, we've lost Mum. And they're walking in Coburg around creeks and things and trams. And we're freaking out. We're like, she could get lost, jump in a creek. You just think the worst things. She could just walk on the road, get hit by a tram. Anything could happen. So we're all freaking out. But I just had this peace about me. I didn't rush my meeting. I just told the guy, yeah, I've got to go soon. But I just chilled. I can see everyone's freaking out on the Facebook group. Anyway, I'm like in Kew or Campbell or somewhere. This is like on the other side of town. So I get in the car. Lord, where is she? It's like when you lose your keys and you're like, Lord, you know where the keys are. Why do I have to keep looking? So everyone's told me what she was wearing, and I get onto the freeway, and you know those freeways where you're on the freeway, but you can kind of see the little trails next to the freeway. You can see people walking or riding. As I'm driving, I think I've seen someone that looks like her, was wearing what she's wearing. I'm probably seeing things. But instead of going where everyone was saying she might be, I'm like, no, I'll just get off the freeway at different places and look. Man, I went for about an hour just stopping here, looking there, thinking the worst things. But even before I got to that, I'd sensed the Holy Spirit say to me, just go to the house. She's going to make her way to the house. Just go to the house. But I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I can't find her, but I'm freaking out. Everyone's freaking out. They're starting to say, the police is saying, if we haven't found her in a few hours, we're going to put word out on social media, and if we get to nighttime, we're going to get the choppers out. It's sounding serious. I've got 4 siblings in this country, all in Melbourne. We've all come from our work. We're all just, everyone's looking, friends on bikes looking. And I'm going, Lord, come on, I'm praying. Anyway, I decide this is not working. I'm going to go where God was saying to go. I go to the house. Nothing's going on. And then I start just driving close to the house. I'm on Sydney Road. Trams everywhere. Cars everywhere. That was 7:30 when she got lost. Now it's like 11:30. I see my mum on the pavement running. Oh, man. I was like, Lord, thank you. And I just stopped the car in the middle of the road. I didn't care what anyone thought. Put my hands, I'm like, Mom, like, just don't run this way, because she could have just run. But anyway, I grabbed her, put her in the car. We're both in tears. She couldn't talk. I had worship going. It was just a special moment. But that was the Holy Spirit and living by the Spirit. Everyone else was looking. I was looking, but I was praying. I don't know whether they were praying or not, but I know my God led me to where she was. Live by the Spirit. Listen to what the Spirit says. We're to live prophetically. It says that when the Spirit is poured out, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will dream dreams. Old men and women will see visions. God has so much for us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. He speaks to all of us. He wants to speak to those that don't even know if he exists or not. But maybe he's going to give you a dream. Maybe he's going to show you a vision, an open vision about that person on the street, about that relative. And it's going to take God showing you that for that person to come to Christ. We find evangelism so hard, but God is just like, can I get your attention so I can tell you my secrets? So you can pass that on. All it is passing on. We have the gift. We need to stir up the gift that is in us. In Timothy, it says you are to stir up the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. See, we all have the Holy Spirit. If you said hi to Jesus, if you said yes to Jesus, you have the good deposit, but you got to stir it up. You got to stir it up. You've got to fan it into flames. How do you do that? Think about a glass of milk. Picture a glass of milk. You put in some chocolate syrup in there. It goes straight down to the bottom, and it just sits there. But when you start to stir it up, that chocolate's going to permeate every space in that glass, and that thing's going to become a chocolate drink, and it's going to taste so good. Who wants a chocolate drink? But God wants you and I to stir up the gift. How do we stir up the gift? Ian, if you could join me, worship team, join me. How do we stir up the gift? God's given us so many ways. We pray, we praise, we worship, we speak in tongues, we intercede, we stir up the gift, we pray for one another.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.